The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, just take a listen to this.
It's a wide range of exempted developments that are out now for public consultation for the next 4 weeks. Modular homes is one of those to exempt, I suppose, single standalone dwellings of up to 45 square metres to the rear of a dwelling from the requirement to go for planning. And I suppose, you know, when people think of these, I've heard them being described as beds and sheds and things like that. Like, I think that's an insulting description to some of the top quality manufacturers here in Ireland that are providing top quality product. The reality is these are very different to the prefabs that I would have been in school when my school was being extended. These are high quality A-rated homes done in accordance with building regs. And what I want to do is bring forward what is, I believe, a common sense and practical measure. But this is one of a range of proposals that I want to hear from the public now over the next 4 weeks. There's others in the area of agriculture, education, health, a wide variety of areas, because this is the first updating really to any great extent in the last 25 years for exempted development to remove things from the planning system that doesn't need to be in it.
That was, of course, Minister for State John Cummins, who was talking to us earlier about modular homes, because the public consultation for planning exemptions went live today. And here in studio to talk to me about her views on them is architect and conservationist Roisin Murphy. Roisin, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks very much for having me.
So Roisin, a few things announced by the government today in terms of their proposals to have exemptions on things like modular homes, but not confined to that. Also things like attic conversions, and just give us your views.
My view is they're desperate, because I think what we've established in the last couple of months is that we also have an infrastructure problem. Now, we've known that for a long time, but connecting water to new schemes, we know there are projects that are delayed from being delivered because they don't basically have access to water. And we have a housing crisis, so it does seem to make sense to sort of liberate us from certain amounts of planning confines. But the problem is we're being liberated whole scale from planning confines here. So we had it with the 40 square metres extension. We saw a plethora of glass boxes, which is fine, but it's not really the densification. It's like it's an increasing kind of platform on the ground rather than going vertical, which is what a lot of we're looking for in densification. But the other thing is, it's sort of like Shomra heaven, which could be very difficult. So there's so many controls required for putting an accommodation in the back of your house. There's need, first of all, like, are these going to be, can they be let out to other people that aren't part of the household? What about disabled access? What about fire escape, pressures on water system, apart from all the neighbour issues? And we know anybody who's working in architecture will know that the neighbours complain. Mm. They complain bitterly over any kind of boundary issue. It is the biggest, thickest book you'll find in the law library is trampolines and boundary issues. Mm-hmm. They're the things that generate a huge amount of conflict. So, but we're in a housing emergency. So I think there is what I suppose, if it came in with certain provisos where there was an escape route, where you got, rather than you got exemption from planning, you had to apply for what we have now at the moment is a Section 6, which is to prove that you don't need to apply for planning, or if you're going to get planning, you get it very easily. Mm. So rather than having to prove you have a need, which was what we have had difficulty getting planning permission, say for divorced families. So there's a separated family, dad wants to live in the back garden, you know, you'd have to go through all sorts of hula hoops to get these houses into the backyards and into the back gardens. So if they made it easier, so they made it like the French system where you're more likely to get planning unless you can prove otherwise, unless you can prove a huge impingement on the next door neighbour. But likely, as I was coming in here today, I was thinking, oh, you're very negative. Jesus, you're fierce negative as usual. What we couldn't do. Then I thought, it actually could be one of those things that could be quite interesting economically. If, say, we said the government wants to own this modular housing. Say it's the big problem we have is the government doesn't own any social housing at the moment. Mm. So if it can't own the land, but say if it owned the production of the modular housing. So it says we are going to be the building agency to provide these units. We're going to have an international design competition. We're going to get beautifully designed, not just Shomer boxes. Sorry, Shomer, you do lovely work, but we just one size doesn't fit all. And say you said we will own that product. So then we can control where it's where it's abuse. So therefore, you can have a government control over where which land is going into to control from stopping being turned into Airbnb, for instance. And then they say, okay, they will get a revenue back from that.
Mm.
So they, in turn, rent it out. The product doesn't have to be purchased. It's kind of got a social ingenuity in the sense that people on lower socioeconomic group, they don't have to buy the thing. They can rent it from the government. And it then has, say, a limited lifespan, like the school's porta cabins policy. So after 10 years, this thing reverts back to state use. If it's designed properly, it can then go to be reassembled in a rezoned area. They're talking about rezoning land. So this is part of our national infrastructure on housing. So this isn't just like a kind of cabins in the back garden, that we see this as an opportunity to build differently and to design social housing that becomes part of the stock of housing for our country, that we in turn, which is big problem, is we're not holding on stock.
Mm.
And also it stops neighbours dispute because there's a time limit on it and we have control over its abuse.
So this is a consultation process period.
Yeah.
And there's 4 weeks for people like you to get your complaints
yeah.
in. But
and support.
And support, yes. I'm sure there'll be a modicum of support. But no, you sound to me like, yeah. in principle, you obviously agree with everybody that we need to add to the stock.
Yeah.
Your concerns are, as I see them, around design standards and regulations,
and also that if we don't make this part of the stock, like one of the things about the heating up of the housing situation and the poor infrastructure is that it has incentivized dereliction. It has incentivized reuse and reimagination of older buildings. We're seeing commercial properties. We're seeing that work. That is beginning to work.
Mm.
We still need pressure on the living over the shop. So some tax incentives to encourage shopkeepers to be able to rent out their premises. We need relaxation on some of the fire regs on that. But this could be the worst thing we do,
but
unless we do it really well and really imaginatively.
So it sounds like, from what the government are
yeah.
proposing here, not to put too fine a point on it, I don't know if you heard Carl Dieter talking to Pat Kenny yesterday about we should just let rip and have no zoning all over the country, just built everywhere.
Yeah, go
well,
for it, Carl.
That was kind of Pat's reaction
as well.
But
yeah.
this sounds like it is a bit of let it rip in your back garden.
That's the problem.
Mm.
And that could be absolutely horrendous, physically looking horrendous. But it is happening already.
Mm. Though I want to ask you, sorry for interrupting, interrupting you, but how would your idea work, right? So I'm there, I'm yes. Mrs. Murphy,
mm.
my son is home with his wife, they're yeah. living in the box room, they're saving up to try and get a deposit together.
Yeah.
I want them out of the house, they can't afford it. We all say, okay, let's get one of these modular homes
yeah.
and stick it in the back garden. Yeah. And then you say that actually that should be a controlled thing by
yes.
the government,
it
should
be
subsidised by the government. Are you not just creating yet another layer of bureaucracy then into the government system that they can't handle, because they can't handle the things that we're supposed to do, like the water, like the energy. So how, you know, this would this not just get stuck in that then?
Oh, I don't know, because I think that what we're basically saying is we don't need a civil service then. And then it's into Trump housing policy, which doesn't work. But we do need some control on planning. So they're talking about deregularization completely, which we know, say, if you look at the markets like Copenhagen, Iceland, Finland, all of these places that are successfully dealing with the housing issue, mm-hmm. they are thinking of alternative solutions. But they're also controlling it. They're holding some of the stock for themselves. But we don't seem to be able to do that.
What are your concerns?
Yeah.
How do you think this, like, what are the things that you're concerned about? How do you think this is going to evolve in a negative way?
I think it could be really, really ugly. That's the first thing. And I'm an architect.
But like, in fairness, if you're stuck up in the box bedroom for the last 2 years trying to save for deposit, you don't really care it looks ugly. You just want a bit of space. Like these.
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing, is that's where, and that is what is happening at the moment. It's at all costs to supply this stuff. But we know that there's has to be an arc of development where it can't just go in and be ugly.
Mm.
But we have all of the expertise. We have all this Institute of Architecture, the Planning Institute. You can't bypass all that expertise.
But they are.
They want to. Mm. But that is where you, like, can I just be really clear about this? This has, if some things happen hand in glove with those institutes, proper planning and development can take place. But the problem is the push to bypass all of the regulation is really only landing us in more expensive housing, poorer quality of housing in places, but also the disenfranchisement of our civil service. So what are we talking about then? What have we, what is the state, what are they doing? What is the government for? Do we just get rid of the government and say it's a free market housing system? Let all the lads in, and as Carol Dieter in charge, driving the car to the precipice and going, no, like free market. It's an anarchy in a way, ironically, a very anarchic thing that they're suggesting. But you do need order.
Yeah.
And order means that you get proper access to water. If you have somebody come in next door to you with, say, three kids, sorry now, but like, say, if it's not just an elderly parent, but three, a family of three, that pressure on the water system, your water goes down. Then you put a pump in to boost your water. Then the internet goes down. We have to have structure on these to maintain order in the infrastructure so there's not much pressure. And also, it's going to, we need facility for people to be supported by the country in housing. That there is nothing wrong with providing alternative solutions, but you have to do them hand in glove with the institutes who are looking to do best practice.
Roisin, that's a very interesting point you made about the three children and a couple, because in our heads now, we are looking at this through a prism of,
my 20-year-old child.
My 20-year-old child, he has a job, I want him out of the house, or he's back in, he's finished university, can't afford it, or, you know, an elderly parent or something like that. But it's your fear is that, and of course it's logical, it's not just going to be that.
100% it isn't, and it can't be, because it has to be housing for all. So that's why you need a measure and control on it, because one person's housing need is different to the next door neighbours. And I actually do believe that to a certain extent the granny flat has always been part of the pantheon of things we've provided, but they usually only go into the bigger gardens. And not all big gardens are wealthy gardens in Ireland. We have wonderful council houses from the 40s and 50s with huge back gardens.
But yeah, I saw an interesting thing there actually. One of the criteria is that they have to leave another 25 square metres in addition to the space that is residual and private as a garden space. But who's going to police that?
But that's why I think the only way of doing it is either going through planning, looking for an exemption which puts more pressure on the planning system, or we have a government agency that is in charge of the use and placement of these, so we have a good measure of how and control of how they're being developed. So say if you have an antisocial situation cropping up, which can happen, where they put a shed, albeit into a smaller back garden, or that there's somebody to police it. There's somebody there that says, look, we're going to take, unless you reduce the number of occupants in it, you're going to lose the cabin. And likewise, also, I think there should be a relaxation on some of the, I've always maintained this, on the living over the shop. We know there's 40,000 at least.
Yes.
And that's not part of what we already know of the stock of derelict structures.
I think you're certainly getting support for that. I was talking to a few people after the last time we spoke about, you know, tax incentives for that. And they don't really need anything other than tax incentives to do that. Let me just throw some of the other things at you. I think we've got a sense of how you feel about the modular homes.
Well, I have a mixed feeling. I like the idea that if it's
more regulated and managed.
Regulated.
Yeah. So under the current review, proposed planning permissions exemptions include attic conversions.
Yeah. Difficult to do to comply with fire at the moment. Okay. Really difficult.
Okay. Heat pumps to support climate.
Fine.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Subdivision of existing dwellings to enable living in situ by older people and family members.
Well, we've done that. I've done that actually in a programme. It's hugely successful with students and stuff. There's agencies to provide that. And I also think that we need to allow homeowners to go up a story. So one of the things about the attic conversions, it should not just be attic conversion. We should be encouraging suburban Dublin. It really is a flat plane out there. It would be wonderful to see, you know, in more of our suburbs, an extra floor go on as part of it, so that is a proper densification. So we're not just building on our green land. We're not just building on the soil all the time, which is proper environment.
We want to be careful. We'll end up like New York, where we're selling those spaces, you know, over the buildings.
Yes.
Listen, Roisin, it's fascinating, and I'm sure you'll have a massive submission to make to this consultation process.
Probably.
Well, listen, thank you very much for coming in to us today. That was Roisin Murphy, of course, the conservationist and architect.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.